Welcome to The Conversation on Sky Sport, where we've been taking a special look this week at the state of the game, women's rugby, and the build-up to the historic Super Rugby women's match between the Blues and the Chiefs. Eden Park, Saturday, 4:35 kick-off, and we've talked to administrators, we've talked to a couple of our Sky commentators, so now we need to hear from the players, from the Blues. The skipper, Eloise Blackwell, is with us, and from the Chiefs, Chelsea Ellie, joining us, which looks like her bedroom, but that's okay, as bed's looking good, nice and made. Welcome in to both of you. How exciting is this? I'm pumped and I'm not playing this game.
Yeah, super excited. Can't wait to take the field.
And what about for you, Chelsea?
It's really exciting. We were at Black Ferns Camp just last week and the banter flying around was, it was pretty funny. Not just between the Blues and Chiefs players, but even the girls from all the other regions are pretty excited. A few are flying up from Christchurch and Wellington to come and watch the game. So it's pretty wicked just how it's taken off like it has.
Have you guys been sort of vying for the love of your other Black Ferns teammates to support either the Chiefs or the Blues in this game, asking the Cantabs and the Wellington players and all of that? Have you been bribing them?
Yeah, as Chelsea said, like, lots of the girls from the other regions have been really getting behind us. And I wouldn't really say bribing, but... you know, I have definitely been asking them the question, who are they backing? And, you know, I reckon the favour's definitely in the Chiefs, but, you know, you definitely can't count out the Blues.
Is that because nobody likes Auckland?
Yeah, I think that's probably the reason for it. But
So for you, Eloise, I mean, do you feel like Blues and Chiefs players, like putting that on? We've obviously got the jerseys here behind us, so that, like, to feel part of that franchise and that club?
Yeah, it's a pretty special feeling, and myself growing up within the Blues region, always watching it as a young person, and now to be given the opportunity to pull that jersey on, like, it's super special. And, you know, we've got lots of young girls in the team, and I guess they may be well aware of, I guess, the magnitude of it, but, yeah, it's so huge for us, and it's going to be awesome.
Because you're Waikato Hara, you're born and bred Tokoroa, you're Chiefs mana, right?
Forever.
So to be able to pull on a Chiefs jersey, what is that going to mean to you?
Yeah, look, I grew up watching the Chiefs. I've backed them every season they've played, basically, no matter how they've kind of performed on the leaderboard. But, yeah, for me, I remember the first training, getting given a Chiefs training kit to play in, and I honestly thought that in my time playing, in my career, the opportunity wouldn't come until a lot longer down the track for us to play in the Super Rugby team. So it has always been a dream of mine, but for it to actually come true, like, it's pretty surreal. It's been awesome. We've had the backing of the Chiefs franchise from all the boys who play for the Chiefs as well. They've come along and support us at training. So, yeah, definitely feeling like... a welcome member of the Chiefs whānau, which is pretty cool.
I like that, just making sure she hasn't jumped on the bandwagons while the men's team have been going good, right? Like, making sure everybody knows that Chelsea Elliott is definitely Chiefs mana through and through. But that's a good point she makes, Eloise, in that you guys have both been at the coalface of this game for a long time. What is the actual recognition to be able to do this, to make this history again? What does that recognition mean?
Oh, I think it's huge for our game, and I guess I've noticed a real shift in the following of women's rugby in New Zealand post that Barbarians tour we had last year. And I think it's huge for the game. It's huge for the youth and the up-and-coming players to see that there are these pathways. And as Chel said, like, I had never imagined or ever thought of this opportunity coming around. And it's really huge, even for us. You know, we're seasoned campaigners. We've been in this environment a long time. And you know, just the excitement to, I guess, to be given this opportunity. Words can't even really describe it.
I could actually see, like, both of you, like, fully beaming just at what it's going to mean. It's must be hard to get that across sometimes, Chelsea. That how hard some of you have had to fight for this.
For us, it's still exciting to even have a Farah Palmer Cup match televised. You know, so. Making sure and getting the country excited about a women's rugby game is massive. And I just think about, in, you know, 10 years' time down the track, when all these young girls who are playing club rugby now are able to wear Chiefs jerseys and Blues jerseys, and hopefully be more kind of full-time contracted players within these franchises. And for me and Ella, I guess it's going to be pretty cool to sit back in 10 years' time when we're in wheelchairs with broken bodies and see these young get these opportunities because of us kind of pushing for it, I guess. And during this really important time in women's rugby in New Zealand, to be a part of that and to keep kind of pushing to make sure we're getting these opportunities, I'm really looking forward to seeing the role down the track as well.
Yeah, do you guys actually get a say in what's happening in the game aside from the work you do on the field? You both got jobs as well, but do you actually get a say, not necessarily at the board table, but within your unions and to New Zealand rugby? I know you guys have got someone like Kate Sexton, who's head of women's development and is a go-to for many of you, but do you get to bang your head against the brick wall, as I've said to everybody else in this, and say what you want to see happen?
Oh, I'm unsure if we're allowed to share, are we? There's a working group.
You can now.
We can, yeah. Are we allowed? Yeah, there's a working group. It's going to be rolling out the next couple of weeks with different players from each of the franchises to help, I guess, shape how it could look going forward. Awesome. And I guess, yeah, we're the test dummies, and you know, we hope to put on a spectacle, in the words of Chelsea Alley, to make sure that, you know, we do it justice, because there's so many awesome women playing this game, and, you know, we need to do that to help continue the growth of it.
Because this can't just be a one-off, right?
No. Yep. I mean, I guess I'm kind of outspoken in that I make sure I'm on the different chats and get amongst kind of what's happening. I like to know the ins and outs and how things are going to happen. So yeah, like Ella said, we're going to get the working groups up and running, and definitely make sure that women around the country get a voice, and make sure that this is going to be something that not only rolls out just for this year but becomes a mainstay in New Zealand rugby.
So as I said, you both got jobs, you're both teachers. Can you see a time where we will have full-time contracted players? And would you want to do that? Do you still like having the job on the side? It must be a massive juggle.
Yeah, like personally, I enjoy the balance of both my teacher life as well as being a rugby player. I guess it gives me, I don't know, 6 hours of the day to switch off from training, just to do what I love, which is being in front of kids and helping grow their skill set. So I can definitely see in the near future that it's going to look to be professional. But yeah, I don't know. I've had a few conversations the last couple of weeks about if I was a full-time rugby player, I feel like I would get bored. I wouldn't know what to do with my time. Like, it'd be cool for the first couple of months, but yeah, I might have to relocate back home and get more time on the water and in the bush. But yeah, I quite enjoy the balance, and you know, it's good for now. Mm.
Chels?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I guess every single individual athlete's in a different position at the moment. You've got some who are still in school, some coming out and studying, some in full-time jobs, some doing shift work. So when we first go fully professional, I guess there's going to be a few, teething issues with it, because it is such a massive thing, and as I said, everyone's going to be different and respond differently, but I think it's where it needs to go. If you look at women's rugby around the world and the level that everyone's getting to, there's already some countries that have professional clubs and stuff, so if we want to continue to be the best team in the world, I think professional's the way it's going to go. And unlike Ella, I won't find myself too bored. I like cafe hopping and hanging out with my nieces and stuff, so we'll be all good.
But I guess it's a good point that you made, though, too, that it can't just be, and it was something Honey Hedemi Smiler brought up, that it can't just be a transplant of the men's game. There are probably more things in the well-being and a more holistic approach that's needed for women with, you know, families and things like that to commit to. Is that something that you guys feed back as well, that things do need to be slightly different?
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of been the juggling act for these last couple of years. Yes. Since the Black Ferns moved into the semi-professional realm. You know, we do have mothers in the team and who also work full-time jobs. So, and then you've got players who have focused on their career first and then have come back into the game. So it's definitely a juggling act, and I think, or I'm pretty aware that those are the things that are going to be discussed. And, you know, as Chelsea said, it's going to be a teething period. But, 100% agree with her. That's the way it has to go, because, you know, we can't keep doing what we're doing without having the resources in behind us to compete at that on the world stage.
Could you, either of you though, could you have ever imagined, I know Chelsea, you were the first, I think, rugby development officer, women's development officer at a provincial union, that when you started out, that this would be where you had got to, that we're even having this conversation, like, oh yeah, we might have full-time contracts in the next however long.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And I think it comes down to the players before us, the trailblazers that, you know, fought to wear the black jersey and fought for women to be a bit more recognised and stuff. And although me and Ella have both been around the team for a while and we're just reaping the awards kind of at the end of our career, once again, it's for those young ones coming through. Like, to have young family members and stuff and tell them, young women, sorry, and tell them that they could actually make a career out of rugby, that's something that you wouldn't have thought of 5 to 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So a really important thing a really positive thing that we'll take when we first go professional, hopefully in a few years, is the men have done it. They did it back in the early 90s, and we can kind of have a look at what went well and what didn't go so well for them, and hopefully do it better for the women.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Clearly it'll be done better for the woman by the woman. You've both talked about some of the young players. Talk about young talent. Does it blow your mind, some of these youngs? Are you going to have Patricia Maliapo on your side? We've chatted about her in this series. What is she? She hasn't quite made it to 18 yet. The world at her feet.
Yeah. Well, she had her 18th birthday a month ago now. It does blow your mind, the talent that's coming through and the opportunities that these girls have now to develop their craft. You know, we've got, especially up in Auckland, we've got a high-performance group of girls who are, you know, at the end of their high school careers, but then also rolling out first year out of high school. And, you know, those girls just, they're like sponges. They want to learn, they want to absorb everything they can. And for us old girls, or experienced players, yes. It's a breath of fresh air, you know. Like, I've got little Maya Roos, who's my locking buddy, and
she's just as big as me.
You know, she's always picking my brains about things, and that's what we want as experienced players, is that these young ones coming through, they want to learn, because we've got so much knowledge to give back to them. And I guess if we can help share what we know and help guide them through their careers from an earlier age, because there's just so much more support now. Like, who knows what they're going to be doing now, 5 years' time. It's going to be pretty crazy where they're going to be at.
Do we have to be a little bit careful in that, the pace of change has been slow and now we're like, come on, let's get things moving, but that these young ones are going to come into a completely different environment than professional contracts, much more scrutiny, social media and all of that, and how that they're cared for and looked after as they come through, Chelsea?
Yeah, definitely. That's something we're all aware of. Like, I think back when I was a first year out of high school, if I was in a Chiefs team and then all of a sudden in a Black Ferns where I'm professional and stuff, I think about, would my life have been the same? Would I have done as much in my career as I even got my degree and all of that sort of thing? And I think that's the balance that we need to find. Like, we need to still be allowing these and encouraging these girls to build their life out of rugby as well. And that's what I think that's happened a little bit in the men's game. When they go professional too early, they feel the pressures and they don't have the opportunities to make sure they're sorted for life after rugby. And that's something in the Black Ferns environment that I think our PDs and our coaching group and management group are pretty aware of. And they're pretty good at making sure that girls have other career opportunities and things as well. So, yeah, it's really, really exciting. But I think it is up to us older ones and those higher up to ensure that these girls are still on track with other things as well.
Because I guess that's something you would see coming through schools, right?
Yeah, definitely. And as Charles said, there just needs to be so much more support around these young girls, you know, because rugby doesn't last forever. You know, you might want to start a family or, you know, you could get a career-ending injury. So, you know, you need to have a backup plan. And that's something that I try and instill in my my schoolgirls that I coach. You know, like rugby's the vehicle that, helps create all these opportunities for you, but you do need something to fall back on as well.
Obviously, this year has been already been a roller coaster for you guys with the World Cup announcement, which must have come as a shock, yet at the same time possibly wasn't a total shock. How have you been able to absorb that, reset your mind and think, right, I've got another year to get through to that World Cup? How have you dealt with that?
Yeah, I guess it was always in the back of my mind that it potentially could be postponed. It took me probably a couple of days just to kind of dwell on it a little bit and feel a little bit upset about it and deal with it. But yeah, like the goal's still the same. It's just the goalpost has shifted through to, I don't know, 16 months from now. You know, I'm still just as excited, and I'm prepared to try and do the best that I can to make sure that I'm pulling a black jersey on come September or October, November next year.
Somewhere next year, yeah. And for you, Charles, and I guess it's having an idea that there's going to be a plan in place for you this year. Sounds like there's a whole lot of stuff maybe happening September, October, Chelsea.
Yeah, like Ella said, that announcement was tough, but for me, what drives me is a test match in the black jersey. Like, that's kind of what we do everything for, to get out there and play. So I know that NZR and our management group are working really hard to get some tests together at the end of the year, and I think that's just hugely important. We haven't played a test in almost 2 years now, which you think about all the hours of training and weekends at camp and everything. It's quite tough, but as long as we've got a test date in place coming up at the end of this year, I think as soon as that's fixed and that's a done deal, that's just going to increase motivation levels once again. Girls are doing pretty good, though. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, another camp.
Yeah, goals have been put out a year, but they're still the same. So we're still going to get the best out of every woman in New Zealand that's vying for a World Cup spot.
Well, it's probably going to make that competition for places even tougher, right? Because some of those younger ones are just going to have another year if they get some test matches under their belt. Actually selecting that squad next year is going to be horrific.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not a coach, because some of the positions, just the, I guess, the level and ability of the players that are coming through, yeah, like lock in particular, there's so many good locks coming through, and like that just helps drive me to make sure that I'm staying on top of my game, because there's a lot of young girls that are pushing for spots. And yeah, it's cool. It's good to have competition like that, because, you know, being in the team for a long time, all the experienced players, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of a nip at the tail, at the heels, yeah, yeah, to keep you in check.
Right, let's have a look at this game. I want to have a look at your squads. So the strength of the Blues and the Chiefs squads for this historic Super Rugby Wahine match. Chelsea, what is the strength of the Chiefs?
I think, man, we've got talent all over the park, but I think our Lucy trio is going to be pretty tough for our selectors to even pick our starters and our bench players. There's going to be some great girls that miss out. We've got a good, we're good everywhere, to be honest. We're probably a little bit lighter in the front row compared to the Blues. If you saw their infographic, actually, I think there were 7 front rowers on it.
Yeah.
So we know where they are going to try to take us, I think. So yeah, we got some nippy backs. Just all over, really. Just excited.
You can rebut or agree. Definitely, you've definitely got a very strong tight five.
Yeah, I agree, Chels, your Lucy trio. But I have to back the Blues forward pack. You know, as you said, Chels, that graphic. You know, what was it? There was Eldora, Itunu, Alicia Pearl Nelson, Te Kura Ngā Taringamate, Christo Tofa,
Murray,
Crystal Murray, Charmaine McMiniman. You know, like our four pack, that that has some firepower, and we've got a lot, we've got some youth coming through. We've got Lisa Morlia, Liana. I'm sorry, I can't say her name properly.
Michele Tu'u.
Yep. Liana, she'll be back after her her leg injury.
She broke her leg, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, tib and fib. We've got Maya Roos. Like, man, this is...
So where are your points coming from? Where's the Blues points coming from?
Pick and goes, probably. Line out mauls. We'll drive from 80 metres out and probably maul all the way up the field with our four pack.
The difference in those four packs, eh, like, all those players you named are big, strong, powerful players, whereas some of our better players are the likes of like Les Elder and Kennedy Simon, who aren't as big, but they're just completely different types of players. So I think this game is going to be, I think it's going to just have massive momentum switches right through the whole thing. And it's going to go right to the 80th minute. And I think it's going to come down to who can play their game plan the best, because I can see it now that both teams are going to have quite different game plans based on the personnel on the team.
Yeah, what sort of style, without giving away your game plans, can we expect to see from the Blues?
You can 100% expect to see a bit of razzle. Yeah, we've got quite a composed back line led by Ruahe there, but... yeah, you can definitely expect some razzle. You might expect a lot of pick and goes. We'll be looking to run it straight up to Chelsea in the middle there and play from there.
I was going to say, you should be expecting to make a lot of tackles in midfield, right?
Yeah, always do. It's all good.
We'll be coming for it.
I mean, that's going to be a key, though, Chelsea, is how your tight five in particular can get some parity to get that front football for the likes of Hazel to be able to work with.
Yeah, like Ella mentioned in their kind of game plan, there'll be a lot of mauling and pick and go, but we'll be like any good Chiefs team in the past, and there'll be a lot of played with a lot of pace and moving the ball around a bit. So, as I said, two completely different types of styles, I guess.
And just before I let you guys go, can you imagine, do you start to think what it's going to feel like to run out at Eden Park for the first time, knowing you're making history, wearing a Blues and a Chiefs jumper?
Yeah, as Chel said, like, it's pretty surreal. It's awesome to be running out on such a venue such as Eden Park. That's going to be huge. For us, being Blues players, we're going to have our friends and whanau in the crowd, so that's going to add to the atmosphere and make it that moment even more special. And to be the first team to pull on that jersey and be able to do that, it's huge, and it's such a privilege. And I really hope that the girls take in the moment, take in the opportunity, and yeah, you know, once you pull that jersey on, you got your superpowers, and we're ready to go to war against our mates from down the Bombays.
And for you, Chelsea?
Yeah, look, it's going to be an amazing occasion. I just can't wait. At the end of the day, it's just a huge milestone for women's rugby, probably bigger than I first thought it would be. And I mean, as I said, the banter between Chiefs and Blues has been pretty good, but I think it's pretty special. We do know each other very well. Like, although me and Ella are going to be rivals on the field, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure our team wins, I'm going to be equally as happy for the Blues girls, like Ella and her team, for getting to be a part of this special occasion. And I'm sure, you know, by the end of the game, we'll be hugging and smiling, and we'll all just be so proud of what we've achieved. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Thank you. Absolutely cannot wait. Chelsea Ali, Eloise Blackwell, Blues and Chiefs. And it is all on Eden Park, Saturday, May 1st, 4:35 kickoff. You absolutely will not want to miss it. It'll be live, of course, on Sky Sport 1 and on Sky Sport Now. So you must catch all the action of this historic occasion. Of course, you can catch up with our episodes of The Conversation wherever you get your podcast as well. But get yourself to Eden Park or tune in and watch the Chiefs and Blues Super Rugby Waihine go at it.